الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, continuing with the شرح في العقيدة الواسطية للشيخ الإسلام بن تيمية, we were dealing with the 14th narration which is used to affirm Allah's transcendence or transcendency, and it's a long narration, quite a long narration. We began by discussing the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam that Allah Azza wa Jal is the master of the seven heavens and the earth and the great throne. And then we went on to discuss the idea of the Torah and the Injil and the Quran. And we elaborated somewhat on that. We said the Torah is the first one given to Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, which we don't have, and the Gospel of Jesus, which we don't have, and finally the Quran we have. So this is the only book of revelation which Allah Azza wa Jal sent down that remains preserved and protected, cannot be changed. It cannot be changed. Even if they come up with all kinds of, you know, fake versions, Allah has taken it upon Himself to protect the Quran. And it will not sell. You know, remember you discussed this, and even this Furqan, they came up with the Furqan, it has 70 chapters. You know, how many would they sell? 15, 20, 30, in comparison to the book of Allah, by millions. There's no comparison. You know, Allah has protected this book. Whatever they do, it will be a total failure. Now, the statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قَوْلُهُ أَعُوذُ بِكَ مِنْ شَرِّ نَفْسِي أَعْتَصِمُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ شَرِّ نَفْسِي, meaning, I seek refuge with you. I seek your protection from the evil of myself, or from the evil within myself. From the evil of myself, or the evil within myself. إذن في نفسك شر. What does that signify? That within each one of us there is evil. There's evil. In Surah Yusuf, Ayah 53, وَمَا أُبَرِّئُ نَفْسِي إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّءِ, and I do not declare myself innocent. Verily, إِنَّ النَّفْسِ, the self, I would say the self, each person, لَأَمَّارَ, from Amr. And Amara, you know, the format and the language here indicates hyperbole. It's a lot. Amara, meaning over and over again, versus Amr, right? Like you say, Tawwab versus Ta'ib. Ta'ib is one who repented. Tawwab is someone who's always repenting. Qawwam is someone who's always standing up in prayer. So this, you know, these words that come in this format, they indicate abundance and a lot. Ammaratun bisu, it commands evil. It commands over and over and over again, su, evil, that which is bad. The Shaykh said, لَكِنَّ النَّفْسَ نَفْسَانِ, but in fact, each person has two selves within himself, okay? نفس مطمئنة طيبة تأمر بالخير, a good, relaxed soul, a soul in the state of tranquility, or a self in the state of tranquility. I really don't want to say soul, because soul may be misunderstood. That is always commanding الخير, good. It's always commanding good. ونفس شريرة أمارة بالسوء, and an evil soul which is always commanding you to do evil. So within each one of us, there's this contrast, and then there's this confrontation between a soul between itself, which is calling you to good, it's relaxed, it enjoys, you know, obeying Allah, and another one which is calling you to all kinds of evil, whatever it may be present. والنفس اللوامة هل هي ثالثة أو وصف لاثنتين السابقتين. Now this is where the scholars have differed. And the third soul, or the third self, or characteristic of oneself, is اللوامة. لوامة is actually in the same format as أمارة. لوامة from basically يلوم الشخص, meaning to سبحان الله, لامه يلوم, to blame, okay? Blame. A soul which blames you all the time. Lawama, meaning abundance of blame. And you can blame someone for doing, for, you know, someone who's evil may blame you for doing good. Why did you help him? Don't help this guy, okay? And someone may blame you for doing evil. Why didn't you study for the exam? You were supposed to study. So blame actually can work both ways. And that's exactly what an-nafs al-lawama. It's a blaming soul. The blaming self, which blames you if you do good and blames you if you do evil. Now the Sheikh said, is it a third kind of characteristic in oneself, or is it actually a description of both? This is where the scholars are different. Do you have three things within you? A self which is calling you to good, a self which is calling you to evil, and a third self which is actually blaming you either way? Or is it two selves, and the nafsul lawama is an adjective, is a description of either the first one or the second one? Now the Shaykh will elaborate. فيه خلاف. There's a difference. بعضهم يقول, some of them say, إنها نفس ثالثة. It is a third self within you. وبعضهم يقول هي وصف لاثنتين سابقتين. Others say it's a description of the two previous selves which you have. فالمطمئنة تلومك والأمارة بالسوء تلومك. So the tranquil, relaxed soul will blame you, and also the soul which is commanding you to do evil will also blame you. فيكون قوله تعالى ولا أقسم بالنفس جماعة الخير ولا أقسم بالنفس. How does the ayah surah begin? لا أقسم بيوم القيامة ولا أقسم بالنفس اللوامة. That's the نفس اللوامة. And basically, very basically, Allah is swearing, and verily without a doubt I swear by the soul اللوامة, which blames, the blaming soul. يشمل النفسين جميعا, then it includes both. So the Shaykh explained, actually one of the definitions they use is reproaching instead of blaming, reproaching. But I mean, maybe it's not a very common term for a non-native speaker, so we'll leave it alone. But it's another option for lawama, reproaching. But the most common one among the people is blame. على كل حال, فالمطمئنة تلومك على التقصير في الواجب. Then the tranquil soul or self will blame you for not fulfilling the obligation. If you have some shortcoming in something you're supposed to do, it will blame you. Why didn't you do this deed correctly? وإذا أهملت واجبا لامتك وإذا فعلت محرما لامتك. If you ignore an obligation, it will blame you. And if you engage in some evil, it will also blame you. It will also blame you. So it's kind of, it's the good one. Main, always blaming you, whether you, if you did something correctly, if you didn't do something correctly, you were supposed to do, or blame you, why didn't you not perfect your deed? And if you did something wrong, then the same thing. Well, amara bil'aks, and the other one is the opposite. إذا فعلت الخير لامتك. If you do good, it will blame you. Why did you do good? This happens to some people, you know, they give sadaqah, then they say, why did I give sadaqah, man? I needed this money, you know, and it'll be like 1 riyal. Right? And he's got like 5,000 riyals in his pocket. That's, you know, sometimes you get these kind of whispers. And it could be from the shaitan, it could be from actually ourselves. When you do good, you get blamed sometimes. وَتَلُومُكَ إِذَا فَوَّتَّ مَا تَأْمُرُكَ بِهِ مِنَ السُّءِ. And if you wind up missing out on some evil it recommended to you, it will also blame you. You know, I reminded you to do this evil, you didn't do it. Why? So Allah musta'an, you know? That's a battle that we have to live. But that's the price of Jannah. I mean, you can't be entering Jannah, you know, while you're just reclining on a sofa with your legs up on the table, and you think everything is going to be just according to what we like. It doesn't happen this way. That's not the people of Jannah. That's the people of Jahannam, actually. The people of Jannah have to strive. Their souls or their selves will command them to do evil. They won't listen. They won't listen. They'll choose Allah and His Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They will choose the commandments, the obligations to carry them out. They will not be listening to it. Because otherwise, if every time we listen to what the whispers we get, then you will never obey Allah. But there must be some resistance. There must be some resistance. إِذَنْ صَارَتِ اللَّوَامَ عَلَى الْقَوْلِ الرَّاجِحِ وَصْفًا لِلنَّفْسَيْنِ مَعًا. So then, the reproaching self or blaming self, according to the preponderant position, is a description of both. Either way, your good one or your bad one can be lawama, depending on what you do. وقوله هنا أعوذ بك من شر نفسي المراد بها النفس الأمارة بالسوء. However, in this statement of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I seek refuge with you from the evil within myself. What is intended here is which one? The one that commands evil, الأمارة بالسوء, the one that comes in Surah Yusuf. Now the scholars have differed who had made that statement. Is it the wife of the Aziz, or, you know, you can go back to the tafsir. على كل حال,
قوله ومن شر كل دابة أنت آخذ بناصيتها.
And basically, and I seek refuge with you from the evil of every animal or everything, anything that moves or stumps the earth that you have taken by the forelock. الدابة كل ما يدب على الأرض. دابة is everything which does dab, and dab is basically the steps. Anything that makes steps on earth is dabba, right? Even though there are times where something particular is mentioned, the Shaykh will elaborate. حتى الذي يمشي على بطنه داخل في هذا الحديث. Now even animals which actually crawl on their stomach is also included in this hadith. It could be a snake. A snake is not really making any steps, or other animals of this nature.
كقوله تعالى والله خلق كل دابة من ماء فمنهم من يمشي على بطنه.
Verily, Allah has created every dabba from water. Everything is made up of water. So among them are those who move on their stomachs. And so Allah mentioned that among the dabba are those which crawl on their stomachs, which indicates that it's included in dabba, even if it doesn't actually do dab. I hope this is not what is going to be there. What can I do now?
وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا عَلَى اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا.
And there isn't a dabba upon earth except that it is upon Allah, its provision. Its provision. Allah provides them.
نعم. The Shaykh said, وَإِنْ كَانَتِ الدَّابَّةُ تُطْلَقُ فِي الْعُرْفِ عَلَى ذَوَاتِ الْأَرْبَعِ.
Even though, technically speaking, usually dabba is used to speak of animals, the four-legged animals. Usually, among the, I mean, it could be both. But the common usage of the word is four-legged animals. This is what is dabba.
وفي عرف أخص تطلق على الحمار فقط.
And even among some, more specifically, it is used to describe donkeys only. The donkeys only.
لكنها في مثل هذا الحديث يراد بها كل ما يدب على الأرض.
But in this hadith, what is intended is everything which actually moves upon earth. Everything which moves upon earth.
وما يدب على الأرض فيه شرور.
And whatever moves upon earth, there's evil within.
أما بعضه فشر محض بالنسبة لذاته.
Some of them, they are evil in and of themselves. They are pure evil in and of themselves.
وأما بعضه ففيه خير وفيه شر.
Others, there's good in them and there's evil in them.
وحتى الذي فيه خير لا يسلم من الشر.
Even the one that has good in it, it is not free from having evil. Because any animal can harm you. Even an ant may bite you. Some of the big ants, they're very dangerous, by the way, poisonous.
Speaking of the ants, I wanted to mention the mouse.
First, let's do a quick English quiz. What is the plural of mouse? Raise your hand.
Mice.
Okay, who was going to say mouses? No one? Are you sure? No one's going to say mouses? Okay, the plural of mouse is mice. What's the plural of sheep?
Sheep.
Sheep. Fish. Fish. Good.
Actually, it is called school of fish.
What?
School of fish. They call it. Fish plural is school of fish.
School of fish? Yeah. Interesting. Usually in the books, they do have both. Fish and fish without the school. Maybe that's more technical. Yeah. But for the general masses and the children in school, you know what they're taught? I mean, at least that's what I've taught the children based on the book. Fish and fish is fish. But school of fish is an extra one. Jazakallah khair. Ala kulli hal, how did we get here? See what happens when I go off the subject? No, but actually that's important. Why? Because yeah, the mouse. That was the mouse a good? Is it good or bad? There's a specific hadith about it. Five fawaisik. Fawaisik are corrupt animals, which include the crow and the mouse. These you kill even in salah. If this thing goes in front of you, crush it. Okay, don't delay. Now why is this?
Crow
and the snake. I don't recall the other two. I
have to look.
Scorpion, Aqrab, Ahsan, scorpion, and one more. Ala kulli hal. So we will not get lost in the discussion here. Why am I saying this? Because most of the cartoon that the children watch are actually based on mice. Tom and Jerry, guess what? You know, Jerry, the poor innocent mouse, you know, always trying to run for his life.
Actually, the cat is better than the mouse. The cat, the Prophet ﷺ said, it's from the tawafun alaykum. It's from those who can enter upon you. If it drank from some water, you can make wudu afterwards with the same water. Abu Huraira was called Abu Huraira because he used to have kittens. He was known for having cats. So actually, the mouse, Tom is better than Jerry. Even though it's always portrayed as the other way around. Mickey Mouse, you know, all these things are actually wicked animals in Islam. But the cartoon portrays them to be the best. And so we can't fall for the trap. So when you let the children watch this junk, they are being taught that the mouse is good, but then they hear the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that says otherwise. You know what will happen many times? They will reject the hadith. They say, what? No way, Mickey Mouse? I'm beautiful, Mickey Mouse. Blah, blah, blah. I give you a whole lecture. Say, listen, man. I'm telling the Prophet ﷺ said. He said, yeah, well, I don't think so. That's what happens. Then you try to change his mind. Very difficult, unless Allah guides him. So then it becomes our responsibility. What kind of, you know, stuff are we teaching our children? So even the cartoon, I mean, I told you before about the cartoon. It's a very, very well-organized, like say organized crime. It's like a mafia. Every single cartoon out there, specifically Disney, Jewish, Zionist made, are aimed at spreading shirk, disbelief, disobedience to the parents, illicit relationships between men and women. I remind you of the Little Mermaid. What is the Little Mermaid? A half-naked woman wearing a bra only. The bottom is a fish, supposedly. She loves a man who lives on earth, so she runs away from her dad. That's what it is. The children watch this, and guess what? The girl, when she's 16, she loves a man, and without even knowing that she has been brainwashed by the Little Mermaid, off she goes. And what was the result? The Little Mermaid. And you think the Little Mermaid, it's a very nice, you know, cartoon. Of course, this is besides the songs in it and all the haram that you'll find therein. So, you know, the children, wallahi, they deserve more than what we're giving them. They don't deserve cartoon. They deserve to learn the deen. And we need, you know, we need children that know the deen. We have plenty of children that know everything in the world except the deen. But how many children actually know Islam? Wallah, they're a minority. The majority know PlayStation, Nintendo, anything you give them today that is contemporary, ala tool, they give you answers. But ask Imam Khalid bin Walid, and they will say, is he a soccer player? You know, they think that he's a soccer player that they don't know about. That's the reality. Illa man rahim Allah. Who's responsible? We are. We blame them? No. They're like clay. However you mold them, they will remain in this position. However we make them, it's our fault, not their fault. But sometimes it's too late. Sometimes you can catch up. I hope you can catch up, inshallah ta'ala. طيب قوله أنت آخذ بناصيتها الناصية مقدم الرأس. You have taken by the forelock. The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You have taken by the forelock. الناصية is in the front of the head. Does anyone know? Raise your hand. Where does this come in the Quran? Can anyone remember where this word came in the Quran? Allah, if you don't know, man, I'm going to be very sad. I said, raise your hand. Yes, sir. تبت يدا أبي لهب وتب ما أغنى عنه ماله وما كسب وامرأته حمالة الحطب في جيدها حبل من مسد. ناصية. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. سورة العلق يا جماعة الخير. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق. كلا لئن لم ينتهي لنصفعا بالناصية ناصية كاذبة خاطئة. So right, it's in the Quran. ناصية. And you know, of course, this is nowadays they use this as one of the scientific miracles of the Quran, because they discovered that actually the part of the brain that processes the thoughts and particularly the inclination towards evil is actually the front of the head. And Allah called the nasiyah, nasiyatun kadhiba, a lying forelock, a lying forehead. And Allah chose specifically the part of the brain which is known for making decisions concerning lying. Now this is something they found in science, which is totally harmonious with the teachings of the Quran. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Ala kulli hal. وإنما نص على الناصية لأنه هو المقدم وهو الذي يمسك بها لقيادة البعير وشبهه أو شبهه.
And the reason why was the forehead was mentioned for the animal, because it is the front, and it is a part that is used for you to actually, you know, pull the animal around or maneuver the animal through the forehead.
وقيل خص ذلك لأن المخ الذي فيه التصور والتلقي يكون في مقدمة الرأس والعلم عند الله.
And it is said that that was specified because the front part of the brain is where the imagery and the reception of information takes place, and Allah knows best. يعني it could be interpreted in more than one way.
على كل حال قوله أنت الأول فليس قبلك شيء.
The statement of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you are the first and there's nothing before you.
هذا تفسير من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لقوله الأول والأول من أسماء الله.
Now this is interesting. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he gave the attribute of Allah, the name and the attribute, then he gave the tafsir of it automatically afterwards. أنت الأول, you are the first, then he explained. So there's nothing before you. And the awwal is one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-awwal is one of the names of Allah, the first.
طيب. وقد ذكرنا عند تفسير الآية أن أهل الفلسفة يسمون الله القديم.
We have mentioned when explaining the ayah, which the same ayah actually, al-awwal, which came in the Quran, that the people of philosophy, they call Allah قديم. قديم is old. Old.
وذكرنا أن القديم ليس من أسماء الله الحسنى.
And we explained that القديم, old, is not from the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not from the beautiful names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
وأنه لا يجوز أن يسمى به.
And it is impermissible. Impermissible meaning not permissible to call Allah by that name. And this is alluding to the fact that we cannot call upon Allah except through the names which He had taught us. We cannot bring something else, you know, extra.
على كل حال وأنه لا يجوز أن يسمى به لكن يجوز أن يخبر به عنه.
But it is allowed to inform that, to inform about Allah with that name. يعني we can use it, but we don't say it's one of the names of Allah.
وباب الخبر أوسع من باب التسمية.
And the old, because I mean old sometimes doesn't have a limit linguistically. Now the English language, I don't know, maybe old must have a beginning, but in the Arabic you can say قديم, and it just could be eternal, something that is old and it doesn't have a beginning. So it's the same thing. So the Shaykh said it is allowed لأن القديم ليس من الأسماء الحسنى. Anyways, the قديم is not from the names of Allah Azza wa Jal. والقديم فيه نقص. Furthermore, there's some deficiency in the term قديم.
لأن القدم قد يكون قدما نسبيا.
Because being old can be relevantly old. It could be something very old, and it could be old, you know, you say this water is 10 minutes old. Or my child is 5 years old, and that's not really old. That's relatively young, even though we're using the term old. So, or you can say I have an old car, and it could be a 19, you know, or 2000, and you still call it an old car. It doesn't necessarily mean old. So, because of this possibility in the term old, the Shaykh said there's a deficiency in it. So we don't, you know, attribute it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Did you not see how Allah says, وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَاهُ مَنَازِلَ حَتَّى عَادَ كَالْعُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ.
And the moon, Allah made it go through phases until it became like the عُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ. It's like the عُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ is like the palm tree, the leaf of the palm tree, after it goes through a process of, you know, whatever you call it, it becomes dry, it becomes very thin and, you know, curved, right? It's like almost like a banana. And this is speaking about the phases of the moon, from the full moon to half moon, until it becomes, you know, very thin, which is the end of the month or the beginning of the month.
والعرجون القديم حادث لأنه قديم بالنسبة لما بعده. طيب, we're done with that. قوله أنت الظاهر فليس فوقك شيء.
And you are the one who is apparent or above, and there's nothing above you. There's nothing above you.
الظاهر من الظهور وهو العلو.
الظاهر comes from ظهور, which is being apparent, being on top, which is actually علو, transcendence.
كما قال تعالى فما استطاعوا أن يظهروه وما استطاعوا له نقبة.
After ذو القرنين, he put the sed for the people who to protect them from يأجوج ومأجوج. فما استطاعوا أن يظهروه, they were unable to go over the wall. Over that partition he made, they were unable to go over it. What was the term used? فَمَصْطَعُ أَيْ يَظْهَرُهُ, meaning to go over it. From ظَهَر, ظَهَر is actually the back of someone. right? And the back indicates that you're on top. على ظهر الشيء. So this is على ظهر الطاولة, meaning it's on the back, on top of the table. طيب. يضروا أن يعلوا عليه. وأما من قال الظاهر بآيات فهذا خطأ, لأنه لا أحد أعلم بتفسير كلام الله من رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Some said that what is intended by ظاهر, that Allah عز وجل is apparent through His miraculous signs, he said this is a mistake, because no one is better in interpreting the speech of Allah than the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. And he said الظاهر ليس فوقك شيء. You are the one who is above and apparent, there is nothing above you. So you cannot come and say well ظاهر means something else, when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم already explained what it means, because he said there is nothing above you. Like he said, you are the first, there's nothing before you. You are the highest, there's nothing above you. بل هو فوق كل شيء سبحانه. He is above everything. يعني Allah is above His creation, including the throne. And the throne is a creation of Allah. And Allah is above a throne. It does not mean that Allah needs the throne to be maintained. Rather, the throne needs Allah to maintain it. The throne needs Allah, not the other way around. So those who try to, convey some evil ideas in the process, say, how can you say that Allah is on the throne, over the throne, and if you say that means Allah needs the throne, we say, look, Allah is above the creation, and the throne is part of the creation. And Allah Azza wa Jalla is above everything. It is not any, there's nothing that encompasses Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So don't be thinking of a human being lying down on a bed, and try to imagine Allah in this fashion. This is haram. Haram. We have no idea. Allah is above the throne, that's what we know. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ, then He rose over the throne. The essence, the details, the no revelation came to us, we remain silent. It's none of our business. Really, it's none of our business. قَوْلُهُ أَنْتَ الْبَاطِنُ فَلَيْسَ دُونَكَ شَيْءٍ. You are the near, so there's nothing closer to you. That's one of the interpretations. المعنى ليس دون الله شيء لا أحد يدبر دون الله. What is intended is no one is nearer than Allah or closer than Allah. No one can arrange anything, without Allah knowing about it. ولا أحد ينفرد بشيء دون الله, and no one can have any business taking place without Allah عز وجل allowing it. ولا أحد يخفى على الله, no one can be hidden from Allah. Nothing and no one can be hidden from Allah. كل شيء, everything. فالله محيط به, Allah is encompassing everything, whatever it is. ولهذا قال ليس دونك شيء أي لا, ليس دونك شيء أي لا يحول دونك شيء ولا يمنع دونك شيء, meaning nothing can go around, nothing can happen, nothing can be prevented from Allah's will and dominance. Nothing can take place outside Allah's sovereignty and authority. ولا ينفع ذا الجد منك الجد وهكذا. طيب وقوله اقضي عني الدين, pay my debt, fulfill my debt. الدين ما يستحق على الإنسان من مال أو حق. Dain, debt, is whatever is due to be given by you, whether it is wealth or some rights which the people have. اشتريت منك حاجة, I bought something from you, for example. ولم أنقذك الثمن, and I did not give you the price. I bought something from you, I didn't give you the price. فهذا يسمى دين, and this is called a debt. وإن كان غير مؤجل, even if it is not until some later time. Just the fact that I took something from you without giving you the money, then I'm already in debt until I pay you. Whether I tell you I'll pay you next month, or I'll pay you tomorrow, I'll pay you in 5 minutes, in that phase, I'm in the state of debt. قوله وأغنيني من الفقر, and enrich me out of poverty. يعني suffice me from being poor. أغنيني from غنى. Make me suffice me, or make me self-sufficient. Enrich me, make me rich. Above being poor, above poverty actually. الفقر خلو ذات اليد. Faqr is actually having nothing in your hand. That's what it means. When you have nothing in your hand. Faqir is someone who lives. Faqir is the person. The person himself. The adjective or the noun. ولا شك أن الفقر فيه إيلام للنفس. Now no doubt that being poor kind of hurts the person. When you don't have فلوس, naturally you will suffer. Because you see people going around, driving their cars, people eating whatever they want, drinking whatever they want, and you just look and say, I can't do any of that. So it hurts the person who is in a state of poverty. Allah al-musta'an. Alhamdulillah ladhi aghnana. Wadda'in fihi dhul. Furthermore, being in a state of debt, there's some sort of humiliation associated with that. Because of the fact that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-yadu al-ulya khayrun min al-yadi sufla." The hand which is above is better than the hand which is beneath. Meaning, the giving hand is better than the receiving hand. Once you have to get something from someone, then you automatically feel a state of humiliation. Particularly, you know, when it comes to money. Otherwise, the brothers should love each other, and there should be no such feelings amongst each other. When you ask a brother for a favor, we should, you know, be over these feelings. However, when you ask someone for money, it's inevitable that you feel that you are being, you know, lowered during that time of actually asking for the money and even receiving the money. والمدين ذليل للدائن. And the one who is in debt is in humiliation to the one whom he owes money to. والفقير معوز ربما يجر الفقر إلى أمر محرم. And the one who is poor is in such state of need that it may lead him to do even things that are forbidden in order for him to fulfill his need. ألم يأتكم نبأ الثلاثة الذين انطبق عليهم الغار. Did not the news, the Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah, did not the news of the three whom the cave was sealed before them, did that news not reach you? Do you know the story or not the hadith? طيب. فتوسل كل واحد منهم بصالح عمله. Each one of them begged Allah through his righteous deed. وكان لأحدهم ابنة عم عجبت. And one of them had a cousin of his whom he loved dearly, or you say, yeah, it's a cousin. وَكَانَ يُرَاوِدُ عَنْ نَفْسِهِ. And he used to try to get with her. وَلَكِنَّا كَانَتْ تَعْبَ ذَلِكَ. But she used to refuse. فَأَلَمَّتْ بِهَا سَنَةٌ مِّنَ السِّنِينَ. So she was overwhelmed with some poverty during one of the years. She was overwhelmed with some poverty. She was in a state of need. وَاحْتَاجَتْ. She became in need. وَجَاءَتْ إِلَيْهِ تَطْرُبُ مِنْهُ أَنْ يُعِينَهَا. And she came to him asking him for aid. Help me out financially. فَأَبَى عَلَيْهَا. He refused. إِلَّا أَنْ تُمَكِّنَهُ مِنْ نَفْسِهَا. Unless she allows him to have a relation with her. وَمِنْ أَجْلِ ضَرُورَتِهَا وَافَقَتْ عَلَى هَذَا. Because of her need, she agreed. Now, what is the point? What is the Sheikh trying to show you? That when you are in a state of need, you may do something haram. Now this woman has been, you know, he's been harassing her, let's say, all these years, she never agreed. But now because she needs fulus, and he gave the same offer, he's trying to do the same thing he's been trying for years, this time she accepted. Why? She needs money. When she didn't need money, she didn't go to the haram. Now that she needs money, she thought of it. But alhamdulillah, things worked out for them. فَلَمَّا جَلَسَ مِنْهَا مَجْلِسِ الرَّجُلْ مِنْ إِمْرَاتِهِ. When he positioned himself in a position the man that has when he's about to have a relation with a woman, with his wife, فَقَالَتْ لَهُ يَا هَذَا اتَّقِ اللَّهِ. She said, "Oh man, have taqwa of Allah. Fear Allah, وَلَا تَفُضَّ الْخَاتِمْ إِلَّا بِحَقِّهِ. Do not break, basically do not divergentize me except with a right." Meaning do not, خاتم is like a seal. Don't break the seal unless through marriage. And he can marry her, by the way. In Islam, you can marry your cousin. In other secular laws, this is not allowed. It's considered a form of incest. In Islam, you can marry your cousin. In fact, Ali radiallahu anhu was the cousin of Fatima radiallahu anha. She was his wife. So this is something that we need to understand. So she said, don't do this unless you have with a right, yani through marriage. وأثرت هذه الكلمة في الرجل عندما كانت نابعة من القلب. When she said this from the bottom of her heart, it actually affected the man. فقام عنها. So he got up. That's tough. سبحان الله. فقمت عنها وهي أحب الناس إليه. He said when he was making the dua, so I moved away and she's the most beloved of people to me. I mean, this is his dream and it's about to come true. She says one thing to him, and you know, his dream vanishes, and he's able to actually get up, which is, you know, something that most men probably will not be able to do. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. لَكِنْ ذَكَّرَتُ هَذِي الْمَوْعِذَ الْكَرِيمَ فَأَقْلَعْ. So this noble admonishment reminded him of Allah, so he refrained. And what was the result? That Allah Azza wa Jal made the actual stone move away, and they were freed. So that good deed benefited him even after some time. That's the idea we need to develop. That when we refrain from disobeying Allah, there's the immediate benefit
of not disobeying Allah, and you don't know what Allah would prepare for you in the future, some risk, some sustenance, because you abandoned sinning some time back. It may not happen next day, or not even next week, not even next year. It could be after 20 years. Allah will decree something good for you, you would have never gotten had you not abandoned the sin, you know, 20 years later or before. 20 years before. So this is the idea we need to develop. We ask Allah to help us act accordingly. So أقلعي refrain. طيب. The Shaykh said, فانظر إلى الفقر. So look at poverty. Look at poverty. فإن هذه المرأة أرادت أن تبيع عرضها بسبب الفقر. She was about to sell her honor because of poverty. And this is something that happens all the time. إذا قول الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم أغنيني من الفقر. سأل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ربه أن يغنيه من الفقر لأن الفقر له آفات عظيمة. So the statement of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the Messenger of Allah, oh Allah, enrich me from poverty, is requesting Allah Azza wa Jal to make himself sufficient of being poor, because poverty is among the great calamities. We'll talk to you later inshallah.
Sorry.
Your relative has a huge project for you. This is one of the brothers you were speaking about. Poor thing, he doesn't know. طيب, don't worry, he wasn't backbiting. وفي هذا الحديث أسماء المصفات. Now in this hadith there are names and attributes of Allah, right or wrong? Who can enumerate them? Yes. يا جماعة الخير, I'm not speaking Chinese. In this narration we've been dealing with for two sessions, we came across some names and attributes of Allah. We're just discussing them. What are they?
The first,
alhamdulillah, the first?
Yeah.
The one who's high above, there's nothing above you. The one who's near, there's nothing closer to you, right? These are the ones. Did he mention the وَأَنْتَ الْآخِرُ لَيْسَ بَعْدَكَ شَيْءٍ. He mentioned it here, but the Shaykh rahimahullah, it seems that he actually forgot explaining this part. It's not here. Let me make sure. Eh wallah, it's not. One part which the Shaykh rahimahullah forgot to mention, وَأَنْتَ الْآخِرُ فَلَيْسَ بَعْدَكَ شَيْءٍ. You are the last, there's nothing after you. I mean, that's obvious. That's obvious. So there are four names and attributes of Allah. الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن. الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن. These are names and attributes of Allah جل جلاله. And there's actually more. The Shaykh will explain. فمن الأسماء, among the names, the ones I mentioned, الأول والآخر والظاهر والباطن. ومن الصفات, among the attributes of Allah, الأولية والآخرية. How would I say it? The firstness and the lastness. Okay, the firstness of Allah and him being the first, in other words, and him being the last. وفيهما الإحاطة الزمانية. Furthermore, the time encompassment. والظاهرية والباطنية, the apparent and the hidden. وفيه الإحاطة المكانية, and the encompassment of location. ومنها العلو, including transcendency. وعموم ربوبيته, and the encompassment of Allah's mastery and lordship. وتمام قدرته, and the perfection of Allah's omnipotence and ability. ومنها كمال رحمته وحكمته بإنزال الكتب, included in the attributes of Allah, which we learn from this hadith, the ultimate perfect, the ultimate mercy of Allah, and His wisdom by sending down the books or the scriptures. لتحكم بين الناس لِتَحْكُمُ بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَتَهْدِيهِمْ صِرَاطَ اللَّهِ, so that they may judge between the people and guide them to the path of Allah. So the books are used as a criterion for the people to know, you know, the judgment between them. Now, وَمِنْ غَيْرِ الْأَسْمَاءِ وَالصِّفَاتِ التَّوَسُّلِ إِلَى اللَّهِ بِصِفَاتِ اللَّهِ. Other than the names and attributes, we learn the idea of begging Allah through the attributes of Allah. يعني you say, يَا عَزِيز أَعِزَّنِي, يَا غَفُور اغفرلي, يا رحيم ارحمني. You know, you beg Allah through His names and attributes according to the context. This is how we actually, ولله الأسماء الحسنى فادعوه بها. And to Allah belongs the most beautiful names, so call upon Him through them. The ulama say this is the manner. So you want the mercy of Allah, you call Him by the mercy, the merciful one. يا رحمن ارحمني, يا قوي okay أعطني, the all powerful, give me. So you actually make the dua
according to the name or the attribute of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَالتَّحْذِيرُ مِنْ شَرِّ النُّفُوسِ. And we also learn to be careful of the evil of the selves. وَسُؤَالُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يَقْضِيَ اللَّهُ دَيْنَهُ وَيُغْنِيَهُ مِنَ الْفَقْرِ. And we learned the question or the request of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam that Allah Azza wa Jal will pay off his debt and he will enrich him from poverty. وَبَيَانُ ضَعْفِ الْحَدِيثِ الَّذِي فِيهِ سُؤَالُ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ أَنْ يُحْيِيهِ رَبَّهُ مِسْكِينًا. And we learn from this the inauthenticity meaning not authentic of the hadith where it's claimed that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Oh Allah, ahini miskinan, oh Allah, let me live as a miskin." It's very common that the Prophet ﷺ chose, he asked Allah to make him a miskin and to gather him with the masakin and to resurrect him with the masakin. No, he didn't. It's a da'if, it's a weak narration which was authenticated by Shaykh al-Albani though. Now here we get into this conflict. A hadith which is labeled as da'if by some ulama and labeled as sahih by other ulama. What do? You have a number of options. Either you follow the alim of hadith, which you believe he's the most reliable in this field of or this science of Islam, or you can go with the majority. If you find that, for example, Al-Iraqi and Al-Dhahabi and Al-Hakim, these are all scholars of hadith. If all of them authenticated the narration, which was labeled da'if by one, then you say, okay, the majority are against this. Of course, unless there's a major problem in the chain. It's a very technical science. Now this hadith of Miskin, the Shaykh Al-Uthameen said it is da'if. Shaykh Al-Albani, who's well-versed, said it is sahih. So it's up to you. I cannot give you anything, I go with the hadith being da'if, Allahu a'lam. Ala kulli hal. Wa fihi min al-fawa'id al-maslakiyyah. And there are practical benefits in this hadith. At-tahdhiru min sharr an-nafs. Warning against the evil of oneself. Warning against the evil of oneself. Wa ta'dhimu sha'n al-dayn. And the greatness of the matter of debt. It's not a joke. Wa an yahris ala talafi al-dayn biqadr imkan. That one should strive, hard to avoid being in the state of debt at any cost. Do not try to be in debt. Try to live your life in no need of having to pay anyone back. Even cars. Even buying cars by installments. If you have some 20,000 riyals and you can buy a decent car, it's better than getting a car from the dealership and you have to, pay for 3-4 years and you may die in the process. What happens usually? Those who will come after you, they'll have to worry about paying the debt for the car. If the car is not sold, depending on the company, sometimes things get complicated. One should, try to eat, because you are basically putting yourself in debt to have a nicer car. Why? If Allah gave you enough money to buy it cash. If you buy something not as good as the other one, but you'll be not in the state of debt, which is better. Does anyone like every month when he knows his salary is X amount of money, that half of it will be gone, here and here and here, in debt, not to pay bills, but in debt? Or you prefer to keep the money for yourself? You prefer to keep the money, not be in a state of debt. So sometimes we get a little philosophical and over concerned with the material world, and we put ourselves in a position which we are free from because of looks and luxury. Why? Look at the issue of deen. It's not a joke. And one may lose his job. I mean, no one can guarantee continuity of anything. If you lose your job and now you have, this 80,000 riyal car, and you still have to pay half of it, and you don't even have a job, then you wind up selling the car, and it's a big problem, if it is sold. So Allah musta'an, we should all try to stay away from that to the best of our ability. If you're already in that predicament, Allah ya'inak. May Allah make it easy for you, inshallah, you pay the payments as soon as possible, you don't have to worry about it. I'm not trying to make you feel bad, even if I did already. وَيَقْتَصِدْ فِي مَالِهِ طَلَبًا وَتَصَرُّفًا. And one should be, economic in his money, in terms of the way he acquires it and the way he spends it. لِأَنَّهُ إِذَا اقْتَصَدَ فِي ذَلِكَ سَلِبَ غَالِبًا مِنَ الْفَقْرِ وَالدَّيْنِ. Because if you are economical in that, often you will be free from poverty and being in a state of debt. Interesting, but we will leave it till next time. It's a beautiful narration, the 15th narration about the nearness of Allah, where the Sahaba were actually making dhikr loudly while they were on their, you know, on their camels. And the Prophet ﷺ said, you know, people, slow down. Take it easy on yourselves. Verily, the one who you're calling is neither deaf nor is he absent. Verily, you are calling upon one who is sami'an basiran. He hears you and he sees you. And the one you're calling upon is closer to you than the neck of your camel. And we will see how that is understood. We already explained in the ayat. We have there's no contradiction between Allah's transcendence and Allah being near. Why? There's nothing like Allah. And it doesn't mean that Allah Azza wa Jal is physically there, as some people may claim and understand. But we will leave the elaboration on that particular hadith, inshallah, and the 16th narration about seeing Allah. Now we get into the really hot topics. After the hadith, the 15th hadith, which I believe we can finish in one session, inshallah, we'll begin with the hadith of seeing Allah Azza wa Jal, the believers seeing Allah on their Lord on the Day of Judgment. And that would be quite an extensive discussion. And then we will be done with the ayat and the ahadith, and we will go to the discussion on the position of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah between the rest of the deviant groups. And it's very important to understand, because in modern days, this is the fine line between guidance and misguidance. Because among the Muslims are many who are not on the way of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And we will be able to put our fingers on what is Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, what is not. So we will know who we take knowledge from and who we don't, who is rightly guided and who is not, who is upon the way of the Sahaba and the Tabi'een and the A'imma, and who is not. That's very important for each and every one of us, so we may teach our family members as well. So jazakum Allah khairan for your patience. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, shukru la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, wa alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.